The first reading is Jeremiah 20, verses 7 to 13, and that's on page 779 in the Pew Bibles. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and a reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like fire, a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This second reading is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 24 to 39. And that's page 975 in the Pew Bible. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers, and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more of the members of this household? So do not be afraid for them. For there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pray for Ian now. I just thank Ian for his 40 years of ministry, for the words that you've put on his heart to bring to us this morning, for the calling that you've had on his life for well over that time, Lord. Lord, just open our hearts to hear the message that Ian has been for us this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Yes, I have to confess, I was making a little list this morning of all the places that I've been. 3 different dioceses, 6 different posts, 9 houses, 13 parishes, 24 churches and 23 colleagues. So all the people who've suffered under Jane and my ministry together. There we go. Anyway, thank you for your kind words and your congratulations. Before I moved here, I can remember a vicar colleague in a previous parish complaining about a vision statement that was taken actually from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, where Paul says, Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And this chap, he didn't like the word compel because it implies unwillingness, even forced conversion. But the Bible is actually full of these strong statements about God and having faith in God. Job says, I'm full of words and the spirit within me compels me. St. Paul in Acts 20 says, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. And in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, when I preach the gospel, I'm compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. That was actually the motto for the training college where I trained to be a vicar. And Jude, the half-brother of our Lord, says, dear friends, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. And Jeremiah, in our first reading that Tim read, Jeremiah feels this strong inner drive from the Holy Spirit of God. He's still a free man, he retains his free will, he's not a robot, but he feels this powerful compulsion from God. He's called to be a prophet, and prophets were unpopular. They were often standing on the edge of society, a bit of an outcast. But Jeremiah's called to speak God's word to a people who are often unfaithful and uncaring. Now, I don't know, have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that urge from God to say something? Karen Loring last week, that Andrew has written about in his emails and newsletter and so on, Karen said that she was simply walking around the supermarket doing her shopping, and she felt God saying to her, this is your mission field. And many Christians today experience this feeling that they ought to witness to Jesus. They ought to speak God's word, however it's received by others. Jesus is Lord. That was the earliest statement of faith, the basic statement of belief for the first generation of Christians. And it was actually a very dangerous statement, because everyone in the Roman Empire had to declare Caesar is Lord. So to say Jesus is Lord was actually treason. It was rebellion against Caesar. In Romans 10, Paul declares, if you say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so in Matthew 10, Jesus calls his followers to acknowledge him before their fellow men, to be wholehearted with a single heart, not with divided loyalties. Psalm 86 says, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. And I thought, I love that phrase, an undivided heart. I want to actually make that my theme for today. Ezekiel's prophesying against the people who follow other gods as well as Israel's gods. They're covering all their options. Their loyalties are divided. Ezekiel says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God. As Andrew suggested, let me just tell you my own story. I was 18, and at university, I met lots of young people like me with similar interests. But they were Christians, and they told me about having a personal friendship with Jesus. They took me along to hear several Christian talks. And it all made good sense to me. I thought, this is actually right. This is true. And so I prayed and I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Saviour. And that was the best and most significant decision that I've ever made. I've never regretted it since then. And then in the following year or two, one after another, different people suggested I should consider becoming a vicar. Three times I said nope, before I began to wonder if perhaps God was dropping a hint to me. It took 6 years to work through, but in Winchester Cathedral in 1983, I was ordained. And I see it as giving my working life to the service of Jesus, spending time helping people to come to know him. And you can do that too, whether you're ordained or not. I think that serving Jesus is the best possible way to live your life. Jesus once told his followers to come to God like a child. What's the quality that Jesus was admiring in children, appreciating most in children? I think it's single-mindedness, having just one idea and purpose, not complicated by lots of hidden agendas and different ideas. Some people might call that extremism, yes. Justin Welby was actually having a discussion with a very senior politician about the government's British values drive. And the politician said, are you seriously going to tell me that I don't call someone an extremist if they say to me their faith is more important than the rule of law? And Justin Welby took a deep breath and he said, well, you've got a real problem here, because for me personally, my faith is more important than the rule of law. So you've got an extremist sitting right in here with you. Justin explained, Christians do not believe that the rule of law outweighs everything else. We believe that the kingdom of God outweighs everything else. Do not be afraid of them, said Jesus. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. And he's referring, of course, to the Jews and the Romans, the authorities, the men with power over life and death. Do not be afraid of them, says Jesus. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. He means God the Father, the one who we face for the final judgment after death. It's interesting, by the way, that he says destroy both soul and body in hell. Not just the soul, but the body also. We will be physical as well as spiritual. There will be a bodily resurrection. The creed says, I believe in the resurrection of the body. Jesus explains further, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. In other words, this is of crucial importance. If we stand up for Jesus on earth, then he will stand up for us in heaven. The early Christians took this to heart, and many of them were imprisoned and tortured and even died for Christ. The word martyr is a word that we apply to those who die for the faith. But the word in Greek literally means a witness. In other words, someone who stands up for Jesus. Jesus himself, of course, went to his death on the cross, laying down his life for us. And if we follow him, why should we do any less? Over a century ago, England cricketer C.T. Studd gave away his vast family wealth and became a missionary. And people asked him why he made such an extravagant sacrifice of his wealth and his promising career. His motto was this: if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Studd's also remembered for his poem, Some Want to Live Within the Sound of Church or Chapel Bell, I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. It's a good little motto. Jesus concluded, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Extremism seems wrong to the English. I know that. We've been brought up to seek moderation in all things, to be cultured, courteous, and kind. And as a rule for everyday life, that's all fine and dandy. However, when it comes to Jesus, it's seriously flawed. We need passion, serious passion, if we are to follow him. An undivided heart, leaving the things of this world and seeking after God's kingdom in Christ with single-minded purpose. I want to leave you with another little verse from C.T. Studd. He said this, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Thank you, Ian. It's a lot to think there. Yes, Lord, just help us to have undivided hearts, to make you truly the centre of our lives, the compass point of all that we are and all that we do. Amen.